Welcome to the fifth Sunday of Lent. Glory to you, O Christ, you are the Word of God. If a man serves me, says the Lord, he must follow me. Wherever I am, my servant will be there too. Glory to you, O Christ, you are the Word of God.
Your heart create for me, O God. A pure heart create for me, O God. Hold a steadfast spirit in me, and do not cast me away. Do not deprive me of your Spirit, Lord. A pure heart create for me, O God. A pure heart create for me, O God. God, give me the joy of your help, so I may teach of your ways, that sinners may return to you once more. A pure heart create for me, O God. A pure heart create for me, O God. Sacrifices give you no joy, but I will give you my heart. A humbled, contrite heart you will not spurn. A pure heart create for me, O God. A pure heart create for me, O God.
Who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. These approached Philip, who came from Bethsaida in Galilee, and put this request to him: "Sir, we should like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip together went to tell Jesus. Jesus replied to them, "Now the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you most solemnly, unless a wheat grain falls on the ground and dies, it remains only a single grain. But if it dies, it yields a rich harvest. Anyone who loves his life loses it. Anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it for the eternal life. If a man serves me, he must follow me. Wherever I am, my servant will be there too. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this very reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." A voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." People standing by who heard this said it was a clap of thunder. Others said it was an angel speaking to him. Jesus answered, "It was not for my sake that this voice came, but for yours. Now sentence is being passed on this world. Now the prince of this world is to be overthrown. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I shall draw all men to myself. By these words, he indicated the kind of death he would die.
This is a great time of year to start planting seeds in the greenhouse or on a sunny windowsill. Lettuce or parsley seems to grow very quickly, and they're the ones I like to start the season with. Jesus uses this sort of normal process of nature in his reply to Philip and Andrew, who were asking Jesus to meet some Greeks. He talks about a grain of wheat which dies in order to yield a rich harvest. In other discussions, grains or seeds are used to describe the Word of God. Pope Francis mentions this when he says that we should make it a habit to carry around a small gospel and dip into it, because when we hear anything spoken by Jesus, it always contains power. This is what he says. Christ's word is powerful. It doesn't have the world's power, but God's, which is strong in humility and in weakness. His power is that of love. This is the power of the word of God. A love that knows no boundaries. A love that lets us love others before ourselves. The word of Jesus, the Holy Gospel, teaches that the truly blessed are poor in spirit, non-violent, meek, workers of peace and justice. This is the force that changes the world. This is the word that gives strength and is capable of changing the world. There is no other way to change the world. Jesus tells his apostles that the time has arrived for the Son of Man to be glorified, and perhaps through this passage from John's Gospel today, we're also given an image of the cross by John as a sign of triumph that can change the world. So we have a double-edged sword to match anything the prince of this world can use against us: the power of Jesus' word and the power of the cross. There's no mention by John of any humiliation or mockery, and there's no description of the agony in the garden before Jesus is arrested. He does let us know that Jesus had real human apprehension. "Now my heart is troubled," says Jesus, but this does not prevent him demonstrating complete trust and confidence in the Father. In the West, since the time of St. Francis, there has been a growing emphasis on the humanity of Christ, the suffering humanity in particular. When we think about Holy Week and Easter, we tend to focus on the 14 stations of the Passion. In the East, the emphasis is slightly different. If you look at a typical Western crucifix, we see the Lord in death, twisted in agony, on a plain, cruel cross. Icons of the cross in the East more than show Jesus reigning from a glorious cross, as from a throne. In our church building, we have both images, and I like to think of them as the growing seeds. In one spot, the cross showing the death of Jesus reminds me of the wheat grain or the mustard seed. The other is an iconic cross showing a much more triumphant image. These types can be highly coloured in some churches and decorated with the finest artwork, like the joy of a rich harvest, and really do look like a thing of glory, like a throne surrounded by a harvest of saints. Pope Benedict says that the important thing about this gospel today is not the brief encounter between the Greeks and Jesus, because there will be a deeper encounter where the Greeks and the whole non-Jewish world which they represent will see him and meet him through the glory of the cross on which he is lifted up. They'll have a chance to meet Jesus as the grain of wheat that has died on Calvary, and his risen word will bear fruit amongst them. They'll see his glory, and in the word of Jesus, they'll find the true path to the Father. We can also meet the power of Jesus if we follow Pope Francis's simple advice and read a little passage of the Gospel at a time. It will do us so much good, a little every day. It is a gift. So that starting from today, the fifth Sunday of Lent, we might receive the Word of God, and that we too may hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be." And so with humility, confidence, we can begin planting the seeds of the love of God in the hearts, in the windowsills of our hearts, and then prepare for the harvest of rejoicing that begins with the Easter Vigil.